But up next, all the apples we can still enjoy this season with Cindy Normandin of the Apple Place in East Longmeadow. You're listening to the Fabulous 413 on NEPM.
Apples are complicated, much more than anybody actually thinks, and to do organic apples in New England is really difficult. That's why UMass, we all do like integrated pest management where we're catching stuff, only spraying when we need to, but with the rain and such, it's extremely difficult to do organic, and nobody wants to spray a lot, but there is a lot to learn there, so that there's new things all the time, new pests that are going to eat the trees as well as the apples, and you know, it's always some challenge that's come along, but it's a good community of growers in Massachusetts. And as a woman, I've never felt like out of place. I never felt like I wasn't just one of the people there, you know, like a lot of farmers took me under their wing, you know, 80-year-old guys that I'll tell you what to do. Sure.
It's post-Labor Day. I put the white pants away.
Why do you own white pants? They're just asking for dirt to be on them all
the time.
I know.
You can wear them one time.
Yes.
And it is apple season. And it's time for another local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks. And here we are in East Longmeadow. After coming down the highway, going through the city, and feeling like you're in a very urban setting, it feels like in a hobbit-type village of apples and apple delights. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Cindy. I'm one of the owners.
It is full of apple delights. I have an apple turnover and it's delicious, and you might not hear me except for chewing.
Khalees will be sampling the wares while we talk about the apple place. It does feel like a fun, cute little village that comes up almost out of nowhere after you're in an urban
I'm almost as happy as when I held the baby goats right now.
It's like an urban, then suburban, and then all of a sudden farm setting. So tell us about the apple place, Cindy.
So my father started the farm back in 1972, I think. We moved all the apple trees from Springfield, Mass. We had an orchard there where the plaza is, where Big Lots is.
Oh, wow.
That was an orchard. He did the apples for years, and when he passed away, I moved here. I wanted to keep the farm going. I went to culinary school. I was a chef for years, so it seemed like a good fit to open a bakery, which we did, kept the orchard going. We switched over to the trellis kind of planting now. I got a lot of help from UMass learning about apples, thankfully.
They have the extension program. They do a lot of excellent consultation for our farmers. Yeah.
Very good. And we opened the ice cream shop maybe 6 years ago, and it's been good.
The pandemic transformed a lot of what you were doing business-wise here at the Apple Place in East Longmeadow.
Yes, although it was hard because we had to wear masks. Everyone had to wear masks. We had to kind of police everybody. It increased, probably quadrupled our business, I'd say, because we started doing things that we didn't normally do, posting the menu on Facebook every day, things like that, which it kind of got shared more and more people saw it and people would call with their order. We also opened up more space in the back so that it wasn't so crowded. It could be one-way traffic.
Yeah. Which is where we are now. We're sitting in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so nice and shady back here. It forced us to do some changes that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise.
How's the turnover going, Khalees?
Ah, it's so good. It's like nearly gone.
So I'm kind of curious because I know the pandemic in some odd ways were really helpful to some farm businesses because it felt like, as you were saying, kind of a safe place to go, get quality food that you could trust by people who are growing the food. So now we're semi out of the pandemic. How's business these days?
I'd say we did maintain kind of that increase that we experienced. There are more challenges now, I'd say. There's still challenges with pricing, you know, on ingredients and such. Labor, a lot of people went out of the food service business as a result of the pandemic. So it's hard to get staff, and it's hard to get people that are competent. The young people kind of coming up, they haven't learned some of the basic things that I did maybe when I went into the workforce, like how to wash a dish, how to count change, interacting with customers. I think there's a little bit of a gap there because of the pandemic with all the social media that they're on. So those things are a little bit harder, I'd say, as a result of the pandemic. And the weather, of course, you know, nothing to do with the pandemic, but the weather's kind of all over the place too. So as a farmer, you want to plan, but a lot of things are out of your control, and that's difficult.
We're with Cindy Normandin at the Apple Place in East Longmeadow, a beautiful apple orchard and agro-tourist business right in the suburbs outside of Springfield. A lot of our apple farmer friends lost a ton of their apples, upwards in some cases of 90%. That's kept people in certain orchards from doing pick-your-own. What's the story with your apples here at the Apple Place, and how has the weather affected your apples this season?
So we did lose probably 75% of our apples.
Because of the flooding or because of what?
Because of the frost.
Because of the frost in May. If you look at the orchard, there's apples kind of up front, but even just the sloping down where it's lower, there's none. You know, so the ones that we have some frost damage from that night as well. So there's like a brown stripe in the middle. Oh, they still taste good. They still will bake well and such, but, you know, not attractive for selling. A lot of the growers that we would maybe supplement from don't have much either. Right now we're getting some apples to resell from Glastonbury because they seem to have been in a little area where it didn't affect the growers down there.
How many varieties were you growing? I see Cortland's, and this kind of looks like ginger gold, but it's some...
That's Matsu.
Matsu?
Oh.
They're very ugly this year, but...
That's okay.
Yeah, so...
I don't care. They taste delicious.
So some of them, we have just like four or five trees, but we do have some heirloom ones. I'd say right now we're probably at 50 different varieties.
Have you seen like some varieties that withstood more, so you'll see them more when you come to stands like this?
Well, it probably depends where they were in the bloom process, because like if the flowers were still on, that's the time where you're going to lose the most. Someone who's maybe up on a high place, like a mountain or something, would be better off, because the frost kind of settles. And this is East Long Meadow's very low. So I think it's more due to where the trees were in the process of growing rather than the variety.
So how many farms are there now today, 2023, in East Long Meadow?
Well, there's really, I would say, three. Meadowbrook Farm's quite a big farm. They sell to Big Y and such. Then there's us, and then there's Crow Hill Farm, which is a small organic farm, and she does...
I think I can hear them from here.
Yeah, that's them. She does, like, a CSA, but we do buy things from her when she has extra as well, like our tomato croissants today are with her tomatoes.
So that brings us to the bakery. It's not just an apple farm. People are coming in, getting their coffee, getting breakfast. Tell us about what there is at the Apple Place on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so we do have a big selection of croissants. We've kind of done more savory things as a result of the pandemic as well, which we weren't doing as much of before, but we do a lot of fruity things. You know, we do muffins, scones, savory croissants, sweet croissants, pies. Mostly we try to use our own fruit, and this year we'll be able to do that quite a bit. Turnovers, as you just saw.
Khalees didn't even save me one bite.
No.
Oh, I'll
sorry,
give you one.
You were...
I don't want... Hold
I'll
on.
Give you
I
one
just
to go.
Wanted
well,
one
you can,
bite.
I'll cut it in half with Phil.
You're used to dealing with kids, I said.
Yes.
The time to have hit
I almost
me
stopped you,
when,
but I was like we're in the middle of an interview, so I'm not going to grab it.
Filling.
That's all I want. I just want a little taste of sweet.
It is wonderful. Like, it smells like the bakery at the orchard that I went to growing up. There's something really nostalgic about it. And again, it's a great turnover, real nice pastry, like real nice filling, like not overly sweet, well-balanced spice. I like it.
And you do cider donuts and things like
yes.
that, too.
Yes, we do. And our neighbors kind of hate us because the smell like wafts out into their yards every morning, but
it could be a marijuana
we don't
farm.
Smell it.
The other thing that you do is you have what I referenced before, some agro-tourist type stuff. So you have a corn maze here?
We do. So I have a special needs daughter. So we've decided, like several years ago when we did it, to make it very interactive inside, because sometimes you go and it's like, okay, when's it going to end? You know, we would just want to get out.
Get me out of here.
Yeah,
the children of the corn are trying
like
to reap me.
The blank thing, you know. For instance, we did Wizard of Oz last year. We had a full Yellow Brick Road. We had a full Munchkin Land, all the characters, etc. This year we're doing Hometown Carnival. So there's Chuck a Chicken. There's all sorts of interactive games like throughout. I think it just makes it more fun for the parents and for the kids.
Yeah.
That starts on the 16th and that's open just on weekends.
How long have you been doing the corn maze?
This is our sixth time.
Cool.
And we've done some pretty amazing stuff. We have like a team of friends that get roped into these things. And they're always like, what are we doing next year? You know, so we've built a giant pirate ship out of pallets and all sorts of things. The challenge this year is going to make a giant circus tent using the trees in the front of the... So they're going to actually work on that today. We have some college kids that help us that are in engineering. So to them,
perfect.
It's fun.
There we go.
We're in the back here at the Apple Place in East Long Meadow with Cindy Normandin, and there's...
The crows from Crow Hill Farm.
The crow from Crow Hill, you can hear that.
The crows have eyes, and you better not look them in it.
Where we're sitting says music. You do live music here at the orchard too?
Yeah, we do. Usually Friday, Saturday nights, and Sunday afternoons. It will be ending once it's too cold for their fingers to be able to function. But yeah, it's really fun. There's kids dancing. It's a different kind of vibe than a bar. You know, it's very...
There's no alcohol here.
No alcohol.
The musicians that come play here are who?
We have some high school kids that play and some very talented people. We do also with artists, bring them in on a Sunday, let them set up to try and encourage them to do what they're good at. There's not a lot of places for young kids to play.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of young kids that work for us, so we get a lot of information through them. Regular musicians love to play here too. They say it's their favorite place because of the peacefulness. You know, usually the sun is setting behind them and such, so it's just a little different.
And you just won a best live music venue from some...
Rita Raves. We won Best Bakery, Best Live Music, and Best Family Destination.
That's fun.
I can understand why. This place is adorable.
It totally is adorable.
So I want to get back to Hamden County and the increasing urbanization that's happened over the years, and the fact that you were saying Big Lots was where your dad's original farm was in Springfield. How many acres do you have here on the farm right now?
Presently, we have 14, so it's not a huge farm, but you can really do a lot, especially with the high-density planting with trees now, and the corn maze is like 6.5 acres. It's enough, you know, to take care of, that's for sure. But you don't need to have a huge place to really make a difference and grow a lot of stuff.
How much acreage did you have when you were at the plot with Big Lot, where Big Lots is?
I want to say probably 7 acres or 8 acres.
So still kind of an increase moving here, like a little bit more space to use.
My father was not a farmer full time, but that was like where his heart was. We had giant gardens. We always ate off the land, you know, so I just grew up. It's just kind of normal to be barefoot and dirty. And I didn't ever have white pants on.
Well, that's good thing, because Labor Day's already come and gone.
But also just sensible, because like laundry is real, and sometimes you get real angry about those stains.
Yeah.
So I guess what I ruminate on a little bit is that, you know, so many farm businesses like yours were there for folks during the pandemic to get their food, to have a safe place to go, to connect with other people. It was outside. It was beautiful. And this year's been really hard on farms. And this is really the time that we need everyone to visit their favorite farm places and some new ones, because if we want to keep the farms going in, you know, East Longmeadow and elsewhere, we need to be there for farms when it's tough for them too.
I totally agree. A lot of my farm friends that are older, they're discouraged, you know. It's these people have huge investments in labor for pruning, and they also make commitments ahead to bring staff in, which you can't get out of, you know. So their expenses still remain high, but they have no crop whatsoever. And some of them are thinking about not doing it anymore. And it makes me sad. Where will we be without local farms? The state, I feel the state of Massachusetts is very good about wanting to keep the farms going. But individual towns, I don't think as much. You know, East Longmeadow has kind of put in their master plan that they want the farms to remain in East Longmeadow, because that makes the town special.
It's still kind of sad and upsetting that the number of farms had to dwindle to 3 for them to go, oh, wait a minute, we should maybe hang on to this. This is actually important.
You can't go back. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so that's why I moved here and like changed my whole life.
It's really hard to plant apple trees in a Big Lot.
I don't think it would go good.
And an Applebee's, though. Who knows?
Oh, stop it.
And also CESA, Community and Sustaining Agriculture, has been very supportive. And there's another farming community type of situation where not everybody's an apple farmer, but farmers are farmers and we're all in it together, you know. So some people are maybe doing goat cheese at their farm or meat or whatever. But getting all those people together and having CESA in our corner, I feel is a huge advantage in Massachusetts.
Does it tie you into the greater farm community? Because East Longmeadow has 3 farms, so maybe you're close with those 2, but there's tons of farms if you go north of here.
It absolutely does. Yeah. You know, and at some of the events, you meet people, you come up with ideas maybe based on their experiences, good or bad. You share ideas with someone who's new because people did that with you. You know, so I think those are all really positive things in Massachusetts that I don't think every state has.
What's your favorite variety of apple that you grow, and did it survive the frost?
I would say it's Mutsu is my favorite, and we do have some ugly ones, so we'll be eating those quite a bit. Delicious apple, crisp, and just a little tart. McCowan's too, I think, are really good.
That's Phil's favorite.
I mean, that's just a superb apple.
So you've got the corn maze happening now and Fall Fest, which we will not mention further, but...
Because it's already so successful.
It's so successful. But during other times of the year, do you have other events that also happen, or is just fall like the big blowout time because it's harvest time?
And you're an apple place.
And you're
an
apple place.
Yeah, we do a lot of summer things because we have the ice cream shop. So we have like paint and sips. No alcohol again, but kids things. You know, the library, the East Long Meadow Library does a lot of classes here or reading events and such. Every week there's a couple of things from the library. We have an author signing coming up. I just say yes almost to everything because someone's like, I wrote a book and I want to come. Well, let me just look at it first and then, you know, yeah, sure. Because people did that for me when I was first starting. So many people helped me with the apple orchard and such. My father was not a good teacher as far as teaching about what to do. He was just like, you just do this. And then, wait a minute, you're walking away. What are you saying? So I did have some guys that really came alongside me and supported me and answered all my questions. But my dad, honestly, really couldn't read and write very good. He grew up during the Depression, and so he quit school and went to work, like, really young because there was no food. So he grew his own business, you know, without really being able to do those things, which is pretty amazing in itself.
Totally amazing.
But, yeah, not a big talker, you know. Mm-hmm. He's all, you know, World War II work.
Yeah.
You know, so I do know how to work, that's for sure. You don't want to have an orchard if you don't know how to work.
Say that for farming in general. It's a lot of work, but good work. We appreciate it. So otherwise, we won't survive.
Cindy Normandin at the Apple Place in East Long Meadow, right in the suburbs outside of Springfield.
It's a straight shot. It's literally a straight shot from my house, actually.
That's nice. Well, now you can come here and get us some apple turnovers every morning.
Every morning?
Yes.
Leave an hour.
I won't eat any of them. I'll ask for one bite of them all.
One bite of them all?